Thank you for listening to Dead in Sports, the place where sports opinions collide. I am your host, Kenneth B. Inge. Joining me on the line right now is BZB. What up?
What up? What up? What up?
And also joining us is FIFO. FIFO, what up?
What it do? What it do?
Nothing much. Nothing much. So, as you guys know, last week, last Thursday, or if you want to include the play-in games and go much further than that, I think Monday or Tuesday, the NCAA tournament kicked off. So we're going to do a recap of that, B&I, you know, with the black Jay Billis. We're going to do our recap of that, and then we head into some NBA talk. But before I do that, please make sure you subscribe to the Is the Mic Still On podcast, Dead End Hip Hop, the YouTube channel. Also, well, I got to reset up another Dead End Hip Hop feed for the podcast. I'm going to do something a little bit different for that now, so just stay tuned. I'll give you details on that. And the homies, man, Chris Platty, Strictly Hoop Talk and Basketball Talk, the Technical File podcast with Manny. Manny's been on the show. And, of course, the homie 12 Kyle, the 12 Kyle podcast. Definitely subscribe to that, to all of those as well, and check those out. And, of course, subscribe to us, Dead End Sports. And prior to recording, you know, we were just talking about the future of the show and different things and that we want to do. So, so keep it locked, man. We definitely got some things coming your way in a couple of months. So exciting times ahead. So last week we obviously talked about the tournament, and we gave a lot of predictions that no one ever seems to get right. So B, I just want to start, like, what were there any takeaways that you pulled from last weekend's contest?
Takeaways, and I think I said this last week, man. This I'm speaking as a Michigan State Spartan fan. Every time I pick them to go deep in the tournament, they don't go deep in the tournament. And when I pick them to get eliminated early, they make a run deep into the Final Four. So this just proved again that I let the Michigan State hype get to me a little bit, and I had them going to the Final Four. Actually, I had them playing in the championship game. So we already know my bracket's done. And then takeaways, you and FIFO, y'all called it. I mean, I know FIFO just called it just because Ken called it, but the Virginia, the number one seed to get knocked out, the first number one seed to get knocked out was Virginia. Of course, it made history. For the first time I saw in my lifetime, a 16 seed not only just beat a one seed, but they whooped them up. They gave them a huge L, beat them by 20, 74-54. Also, you know, just in usual tournament style, 5 and 12 games are always exciting. 3 and 14 games are always exciting. When I mean the 5 and 12, and 5 seeds and 12 seeds, those games are always exciting. You never know, you know, how that's going to go, because Davidson gave Kentucky a fight. That was a 5 seed, and you know, Wright was giving Tennessee a fight for a minute, but Tennessee just ran over that in the second half. Cincy took care of business the way I wanted to take care of business, and I was surprised Michigan State. You know, Houston played them tough. And I'm glad Gonzaga got the win, and Xavier is another number one seed to go down. So we really only have, like, two number one seeds left in the tournament in Kansas and Villanova. Villanova looks sharp as ever as of right now. And what else? What are the takeaways? Marshall. Marshall was making a kind of a run. Loyola Chicago, I hope I'm saying that right. They was starting to look like the Cinderella. We're going to find out when that midnight glass slipper is going to come to an end. They played Nevada in the Sweet 16. So that's hey, look, Loyola Chicago, they got a shot to play in the make it to the Elite Eight and play the winner of the Kansas State versus Kentucky. And if Kentucky ain't playing right, or if Kansas State not playing right, Loyola Chicago, they might be in the Final Four. You know what I'm saying? So that could be crazy if the cards play right, because that's one thing about these small schools. You know, Loyola Chicago, they're not on TV all the time. So tournaments like this, when they're on national television all the time, this is their moment. So right now they're playing with confidence. They got the little old lady that's giving them so much great luck. I forgot her name.
Jean.
Yes. She's at the end. You know, like, they're inspired now. So, like, that's kind of a cool thing to see when a nobody team like Loyola Chicago coming in here making noise and have a chance. Like I said, looking at the matchups, and you know that they can get Nevada, and I can definitely see them playing Kansas. I mean, knocking out Kansas State of Kentucky if possible. So we might see Loyola Chicago in the Final Four, man. That could be crazy. And Florida State, that's another takeaway. I didn't expect them to make the run that they made. I had them out in the second round. I had them losing to Xavier, actually. And they pulled out the upset, man, and knocked out Xavier. And I didn't think Michigan was gonna make the Sweet 16, man. Michigan had that three pointer. North Carolina, I kind of knew they were suspect coming to this tournament. I already knew they were suspect. I didn't think they was gonna make a run, so that proved it. I'm praying that Syracuse knock out Duke. Now I'm at the point now where I don't care who wins the tournament now. My Spartan's not in no more. Long as Duke don't win
the tournament. Here come the hate.
I'm okay. You said what?
I said, here come the hate. There you go. Yeah, I'm with it.
As long as Duke not playing, you know, as long as they're not in it or not, they don't make it to the championship game or win it, I'm okay. Clemson is kind of surprising me. I know throughout the regular season, you know, they was kind of one of those teams that was like they were streaky. You know, they'd lose a few, win a couple, lose a few more, win a couple. They wasn't a team I didn't think that would come in and make a splash. But that's what's so great about this tournament. That's why these teams wants to get in because all it takes is just one game. This is not no, you know, three out of five or five game, seven game series. All it takes is one game and anything is possible. And surprisingly, Syracuse, the team that eliminated the Spartans, the heavily favored Spartans, which a lot of people had them winning the whole thing, they were one of the final four teams to get in. They played in the play-in game, which is crazy. So they played, what was that, Tuesday, then played in the tournament again, and now look at them now. They in the Sweet 16 as one of the four teams that were on the bubble that barely got in. So they're making a run, which is back to my other point. This is why it's important for you to get in. You know, once you in, all bets off. Purdue, even though I had them going in the Final Four, they starting to make me regret my pick. Even though they're in the Sweet 16 right now, they're not eliminated yet, but they not looking too good right now. And they're going up against a tough Texas Tech, a physical, very physical Texas Tech squad. So I definitely wouldn't be surprised. If Texas Tech go up against Villanova, that look out for that matchup if that happens, because Texas Tech is very physical. They got like two Ben Wallaces on their squad that's just physical as hell. But yeah. Offense. They got a little some more offensive game. But yeah, as of right now, I think right now, today, I say Villanova is they looking the strongest out of all the squads. They looking so efficient. They definitely surprised me with Alabama. I thought Alabama was gonna come with the Shocker King. You remember I said this last week. I was like, man, don't be surprised if Alabama mess around and shock Villanova. But man, Villanova swept them boys up 81-58. Took care of business, and they look super efficient, man. They defense, they're physical, and they knocking down shots, man. So Villanova, they've been looking sharp for the past like 8 years. So shout out to them. But yeah, man, takeaways. That's my takeaways, man. So it's gonna be interesting how this Sweet 16 and Elite Eight game is gonna be, because after this weekend, this upcoming weekend, we will have a Final Four.
Yeah, man, like it was really interesting. I think for me, man, what I took away, something that stood out was how teams just fell apart when they lost
under
key
pressure.
Players. Under pressure, and you lose key players. Yeah, like Cumberland. So the Bearcats had a sizable lead over in the Nevada Wolfpack, and Cumberland had picked up his fourth foul. And he begged the coach to stay in the game, and he let him stay in. And then he picked up his fifth foul on an offensive rebound that he was trying to get. It was kind of ticky-tacky, but whatever, they called it. And then it was like 4 minutes left in the game, and all of a sudden they couldn't execute. They couldn't do anything down the stretch, and they ended up losing that game. To Nevada, which was a great comeback win, by the way. So that was one. And then I want to say Xavier, because Xavier went down to Florida State, and they were rolling right up until Makura got hurt. JP Makura not got hurt, but he got in foul trouble. And they had like a 12-point lead over the Seminoles. He got in foul trouble. He went out the game. And then all of a sudden, the Seminoles went on that run. Now, here's the thing about the Seminoles. Them boys were running all up down the court, athletic, huge. Like, their size just eventually started to overwhelm Xavier as the game went on. Because they just, every time it felt like Xavier was going to pull away, they just kept coming back, or they would make a mistake or whatever, and they would come back and they would win that and they would just kind of keep it close. And, you know, like you said, B, pressure. So once the game got real tight, you started to see teams kind of, you know, nut up a little bit. Same thing happened in the Ohio State Buckeyes and Gonzaga Bulldogs game. Gonzaga was, for the most part, controlling that, and Ohio State made a run, and they were real, real close to taking that game away. But the Bulldogs, you know, managed to find a way to win that game because Ohio State, Cam Williams, they just caught fire. A couple of things. Auburn, like I said last week, was very suspect. They proved that as they got demolished by Clemson. UNC, I thought they were a little bit overrated, and Texas A&M smashed them, who probably was underrated because they had some suspensions early in the year that I forgot about, because I think at one point, and just hearing other analysts talk, they looked like they were one of the best teams in the country, ranked fifth, I think. We lost some key guys that we were looking to see play. Ayton, Arizona, getting bounced out by Buffalo because nobody else can make a play.
I forgot about that. Oh, my God. Yeah.
B, I was driving home, and I just – the notification came up on my phone, and I was like, what? Ayton had 14 and 13, but they just smothered him, man. Denied him the ball in the post. And it was great coaching, and nobody else stepped up. So that was that. Porter did okay. He had 16 and 10 in his game. Trey Young, man, he. I know we're gonna talk about him.
Talk about him. Talk about Trey Young, because I saw your tweets.
He let me down, man. He gave it, and then he took it away. Because everybody else, like that, like we talked about last week, that team, it was him, and then it was everybody else, and it came to that in that game when Rhode Island, you said them guards got busy, and it looked like they were going at Trey, especially in that second half, they were taking it to him, but anyway. So, yeah, you were right about that. But, yeah, so, you know, nobody else can make a shot. So, here's what I give Trey credit for. He took over. He took over down the stretch. He made clutch free throws. He made big basket after big basket after big basket. And he actually got them in that game. And he actually hit a huge three to give them the lead in that game by one. The game went to overtime, and this is where he took it away. The Steph Curry effect, man. The Steph Curry effect, where he's taking 30 and 40 footers, taking three pointers from the logo. Now, if they went in, good shot, and your momentum could kind of propel you to the win. But as we know, they did not. So, and he had been getting to the rim whenever he wanted. So I would have liked to see him make a better decision down that stretch. So. Because I think he could have won that game and put himself even further on the map. So and the last thing I want to talk about, well, one of the last two things I want to talk about, I think Jim Boeheim is underrated as a coach, man. We don't talk about him enough, but if you let this man in the tournament, he's good for at least one. No matter what, he's good for at least one, and he's such a good coach.
And that teams, zone, man. That zone.
They don't see it. They don't see it. Michigan State had no answer. And then they missed their last 13 shots. But they started – I mean, they're young. They started to freak out, you know, when the game got tight. And that zone, man, that zone just messed them up. And questionable coaching by Izzo. And they really didn't have an answer. And they ended up losing that game. So it was unfortunate. But I think for me, the takeaway from that is that Jim Boeheim, man, like, he doesn't have much NBA talent, and he often doesn't get a lot of NBA talent since Melo left. But he somehow finds a way to win, man. And I think he needs to be propped up a little bit more. And the last thing, man, that game winner, we were talking about it before we kicked off, but you got to make your free throws. You got to make your free throws. That's all they had to do was at least make one. You make one free throw, you go into OT, who knows what happened. But you missed it, and you just left yourself wide open for heartbreak, and that's what happened. Like, I almost turned that game off, and I said, let me see what happened. And then Jordan Poole hit that crazy shot, which FIFO told us earlier was the same shot he hit in high school, which is nuts. We'll post that on the Dead in Sports Instagram. So that was it, man. Just watching all of that, and you already touched on like some of the things that we got right, you know, were the things that we just haphazardly said. Virginia losing, Michigan State losing, you know, these sort of things. So it was exciting, but I got to admit that it's going to be like, I'm not interested in a lot of teams left. And I do think the tournament is wide open right now. Speaking of that, so now that we're moving on, who's their favorite to win it all right now? And you can give me two if you had to pick two.
Villanova, right now. Villanova is the. I got them pinned as the favorite, and I have. You said I can give you two out of the remaining left?
Yeah.
Villanova. It's going to have to be somebody from this side. That South and West bracket is wide open, dude. Possibly. I hate to say this, but possibly Michigan. That can be a championship. Villanova versus Michigan. Villanova versus Florida State, because Florida State they looked it. I mean, I don't know, it's the fact that they just put a whooping on Xavier, but yeah, they look strong all of a sudden. It's not like they playing good ball at the right time, because they was looking suspect throughout this season. So it seems like they just on the roll. So either Florida State or Michigan on that side, and then I got Villanova the favorite to come out.
For me. I don't know, man. I like Kentucky. I like Kentucky.
You do?
To get there. Yeah, man. Like, that is wide open. They just need to get to the Final Four. And who will they play? They'll either get Michigan or
Florida State. Yeah, in the Final Four, it'll be Michigan, Texas A&M, Gonzaga, Florida State.
Yeah, and I don't know. They're ugly to watch. They're not. I mean, they're by no means an offensive powerhouse, but I think out of the ones that's left, like I don't know, man. I just got a feeling like Gonzaga don't scare me. Michigan's good, but you know, I don't know. Give me Kentucky, and on the other side, I'll take Kansas. Kansas, man. Devontae Graham, that dude can play, man, and he finds different ways to impact the game. Nobody talks about them, but Michigan State is gone. I think Clemson just played lights out. I think they used up everything they had against Auburn. Games just kind of go that way, where games just go your way. So I like them, and I think you might see a Kansas Villanova matchup. So I think Kansas will get there. And I think Kansas will win it all. But, yeah, I mean, I don't see any competition for Kentucky outside of maybe Michigan, and that's it. So we'll see. But so that being said, like, we're just picking now, because most of the teams that we have for the Final Four are gone. So, B, how you looking? How are the brackets?
bracket's done. It's toast. It's, I burnt it up. Burnt it up. It's gone in the trash.
So
because my final four. Let me tell you my final four. My final four that I picked last week: Purdue, Michigan State, Xavier, and Arizona. Done. Done. So and I had Michigan and Arizona playing championship and Arizona winning it. Done. Told you. Rip it up. Tear it up. My bracket's done. It looks horrible. What about you?
I had Xavier, Arizona, Villanova, and Michigan State in the final four. Villanova was the only one that I have left. But
yeah, Purdue was the only one I got left.
Yeah, that's the only one that got left, man. Like when Arizona went down, I just gave up. I didn't even care anymore. And then when Michigan State lost, I really didn't care anymore. So yeah, it's a wrap. It's a wrap for my bracket. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go to the Dead End Sports bracket pool that we have for the tournament. And yeah, I'm in 17th place and B, you're in 20th. Possible I can get 53 total points and you can get 46 right now if you got all the picks correct. Meech is third and 12 Cal is 10th. So wow, shout out to 12 Cal. Let's see, he got a chance to get 104 and Meech could get 110. So we got two people that can actually, Kobe Jaw, shout out to him, and then this dude named Anthony is in first place. So that's not good. I want to go back to that UVA game real quick. Because like you said, they manhandled them. Now, I'm sitting there watching this game, and it was tied, 21-21 going into halftime. 21 all going into halftime. And then in the second half, like, man, dude, they were hitting, like, everything. Everything they threw up, went in. Yep. It was nuts. And one of the things about UVA, and I think we mentioned this last week, is that if it turns into a shootout, they were in trouble. And I think the coach said what he did was he sped them up. And when they didn't have Deontay Hunter, that made them really, really, really vulnerable. Now, they should have been good enough to beat that team. But whatever you're throwing up is going in the rim, and you're struggling offensively and you're making all these key mistakes, you know, this sort of thing would happen. I don't know if I'll ever see something like that happen in my lifetime ever again. What do you think? You think we'll ever see another 16 team beat Chris?
Look, not anything's possible now, man. Before Virginia lost, I think the record for 16s against one seed was like 135-0 and 135. Like that was the record for 16 seeds against number one seed. So, I mean, maybe we might see it in another 15 years. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows, man? But it was awesome. It was so funny how I just kept preaching this last week. Like, I just want to see this in my lifetime. Mm. I want to see this. And look what happened. I mean, my Twitter was blowing up that night. My Twitter was on fire, boy. I swear it was on fire. Everybody. Damn, B, you was just talking about this on Dead End Sports. Finally getting with it. Like, man, my Twitter was on fire. So, yeah, it was funny, man. Like, it was cool. It was cool. I'm glad I was able to witness it. I'm glad I'm able to witness Russell Westbrook average a triple-double for an entire season that my dad swore was going to never happen. And I'm glad I get to see a 16 seed beat number one seed in the NCAA tournament. So that was cool. That was really cool.
And you saw a black president, too.
I saw a black president. Right. I mean, there's some historical stuff going on these last
10 years. It's been crazy. So to wrap this up, you posed this question to us when we were talking offline. Greatest college basketball team we've witnessed. Who you got?
People, you can chime in on this one too. Greatest college basketball team. I had to think about this, and I know for folks back at home gonna be mad, but look, I mean, facts are facts. And the best college basketball team I've ever saw was that 91 UNLV squad. Damn, Stacey Allman, Greg Anthony, and Larry Johnson. Grandmama. They, man, that season, they was blowing everybody out. They even embarrassed Duke on a national championship stage. Beat them by like 30, laughing. Just, they was laughing, having fun, blowing out Duke. Even though Duke got revenge next year, which was a hell of a lot closer game, but man, that UNLV Rebel squad, man, that was the best college team. I mean, they were like the they were like the Mike Tyson of college basketball. Like when Mike Tyson was in his heyday, like the fight was over by the time Mike already won. Once the opponent saw him on the other side of the ring in the other corner, like that's how it was UNLV. Like they sucked the souls out of these teams during the layup lines, during warmups. Like you already knew they was coming out the first couple of minutes, aggressive and how defensively they got at it defensively, and the boys got the ball. They was a running gun. You see running gun teams. They usually offensively heavy, but I've never seen like a running gun college team that was so defensive heavy, man. Like. That was insane. So I'm sorry that Michigan folks, I'm not going to say Fab Five. Yes, I know they changed. They revolutionized the way we look at the way they dress, pretty much the way basketball shorts was wearing. You know what I'm saying? Like they revolutionized wearing black shoes, black socks. Like they started that, but they didn't win no championships. So UNLV, they got their championship and they blew everybody out doing it, man. Like that was amazing to watch back then. That was crazy. So I got to go with 91 UNLV.
Yeah, you know, you got anything to add to that, Ralph?
I think, you know, it's hard to go against what B said because he makes a compelling case, right? Like, because they won the chip. But there's two other squads that I think I have to put up there personally. I think the 83 Houston Cougars with Akeem and Clyde. Ooh, and Drexler. Yeah, Drexler, man, look, man.
They was winning win it, too. Though.
I know. I feel you. That's what I'm saying. Like, so I know I can't put them over UNLV, but I think that they're on the same level. You know, even though they didn't win, right? And it was, you know, it was some magical stuff happening with NC State. You know what I'm saying? And Coach V. You know what I'm saying? Like that was some magical stuff. But at the end of the day, I also want to say the Michigan squad, the Fab Five. To me, they was up there. And not only because they won, because they changed culture, man. I think they were probably the biggest or the most influential college basketball team all time.
Oh yeah, easily. But to be honest with you people, if Michigan would have won one of those championships as a freshman or sophomore, I would have been saying Fab Five hands down. Like it would have been like no question. But that stain of them not winning the championship, it just you can't say a team is the greatest if they didn't win the big game.
Agreed.
That's like saying if the 72-10 Bulls didn't win NBA championship, we wouldn't say they're the greatest, you know, one of the greatest NBA teams of all time.
I don't know, but you're saying scene, though. Like, I remember.
I got you.
Yeah, I remember that moment in history, man.
Come on, Fab like, Five?
Man, yeah, man. Like, they were the ones that came, you know, to the top of my mind when I was thinking about this question, driving home. I think for me, though, it's going to be the one team that I hate. I hate them with a passion. But, man, Grant Hill and the Blue Devils, man. With Christian Leitner.
The 92 Duke squad?
Yeah, the shot. Yeah, the shot, the pass. 92. Yeah, that 92, man. Grant Hill, Christian Leitner, Cherokee Hurley. Parks, Bobby Hurley. Antonio Lang. I think he went. He played in the NBA, right? Didn't he play in the NBA?
I thought he went overseas.
Yeah, no, he played in the NBA. He wasn't like
a star.
Know, like a star or anything, like, but yeah, so he played. So they had some NBA talent on that team, man. But, I mean, I think they went like 34-2, and nobody could beat them. And it was just – it was one of the worst years of my life in college basketball because I could not stand Duke. But they were just – blowing teams off the court. It was freaking nuts. So it didn't make any sense, man. But yeah, you know, I'm with you, Ralph. Yeah, man, Akeem and Clyde, fly slammer jammer. Man, that was pretty damn. That was some good times, man. That was a good time. It was. Yeah, they didn't win it, but.
Did you watch the 30 for 30 on them?
No. I missed that.
What? You didn't check out the 30 for 30 on them boys?
That was a good 30 for 30.
It was. It really was.
B, what about the 95-96 Kentucky team with Antoine Walker, Ron Mercer?
Ron Mercer? Yeah, that was that. That was
Man, that dude
they had a deadly trap, dog. Like, they had a full court trap that was sending fears through point guard's eyes. Like, yeah, I remember that. That squad, low key, that 94-95 UCLA squad was dope. The Bannon, O'Bannon brothers, Davis. Tyson Edney. Yeah, them boys.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Them boys, that UCLA squad was nice too, man. But that.
You know who was nice?
Who?
We just talking about nice, not the greatest, but super nice if we're reliving moments.
Right.
That Arizona squad with Miles Simon and Mike Bibby.
Yes.
Man,
they was getting boys work, boy.
Yes, dude.
Hey, they were hurting people out there. That boy Miles Simon, man, underrated college.
That's
player.
Amazing. He didn't get to the league and do anything because I thought he was gonna be a solid NBA player, man. When he finished college, but he didn't do nothing. He didn't make that transition. He didn't transition his game well to the league. But UNLV squad, man, Jesus Christ, they was putting fear in these other teams, man. Like the first 2 minutes, you can tell. You know how when FIFA, when you play against a team and like you know mm-hmm. it's nothing that they can do. Like you can look in their eyes yep. and be like, we got them. That's how UNLV had these guys look at teams looking, man. They were just looking like. They looked defeated before the game even started. And they was blowing people out. Like, it was no close games. Like, they were just like, it was like men playing against kids. Like, that. I've never seen anything like that. That was crazy.
Yeah, man. I miss those moments, man. I really do. Like, and I hope, like, an unintended consequence of the NBA reversing this one-and-done rule will allow us to have some of those moments back. I know we'll lose some talent to the NBA, but hopefully it's real NBA-ready talent, and we get some guys in college that can give us, like, some more of these moments where we'll see a pure dominant team. Because when people talking about Virginia being absolutely dominant and this, that, and other, like, I didn't feel that. Like, they didn't feel dominant. So that's something to look forward to. So we'll see how all of that play out. Let's move on to the NBA. So segueing off of that, today Trae Young played for Oklahoma. Talked about him earlier. Announced that he's leaving the NBA. I mean, leaving college basketball, and he's going to the NBA. Man, he's declaring for the draft. So the first thing that popped up in my mind was Trae Young and whether or not he was NBA ready. What do you guys think about him? Because I know when college season first started, we talked about him early, and then it seemed like the league kind of caught up with him. Do you guys think he's ready for the NBA after he struggled down the stretch?
Man, it's gonna be tough. I'm trying to remember. Is he getting the same type of criticism Steph Curry was getting coming into the league?
But he couldn't shoot like Curry could in college.
Yeah, Curry's still a better shooter. than Trae Young. Trae Young still lights out. But it's true. I don't see. I remember Steph Curry being a better passer, like just a better, like, you know, a sharp shooter passer, a more accurate passer. Because Trae Young be turning that bad boy over. He's definitely gonna have to calm that down coming into the league. You can't be out there turning over the ball 8-9 times a game. That's a no-no. Of course, he's gonna have to hit the weight room because he's definitely pretty frail. I mean, at least Steph Curry didn't kind of build a little bit more muscle. I mean, Steph Curry's still small, but like at least he got a little bit more muscle mass about him, and I think Trae Young will have to do the same thing. He's already going to have to battle by having a jump shot, having a respectable jump shot. He just got to really, to me, just from what I've seen in this college season with him, he has to calm down. He has to make better decisions, man, and stop turning over the ball so much, because that will get you nowhere in the league if you turn over the ball that many times. And defensively, you know, I mean, not the strongest, but Steph Curry wasn't strong. That wasn't his you know, high points coming into the league when he left college. It was his defense. But for me, best decision making. You have, at least Steph Curry has somewhat of good decision making. Trae Young, man, he just got to get better decision making and better shot selection. Like, I mean, if you're going to shoot a three, don't shoot from, like you said, Ken, because I was watching that game. He shot like three threes where I was like, that was a horrible possession. Like, that was a stupid three to take. Like, why would you shoot that shot? Like, why? So you can't do that in the league, man. Better, like I said, just better IQ. It pretty much sums it up. His IQ has to get better because he got the speed. He can shoot the J. Just work on his defense. But other than that, man, better IQ, man. You got to take care of that ball. You got to in the league because the point guards you're gonna be going up against in the league. Oh, that's times 10 from what you were seeing in college. So you got to step it up, dude.
You know, the thing about Trae is that he doesn't look as smooth as and I think we're just comparing him to Steph because probably same build and size and, you know, shooting ability somewhat. But yeah, he doesn't look as smooth as Steph did. I remember this was why Steph at Davidson was how I became a Steph Curry fan. And how I was disappointed and sad that we may not have seen what he became when he was having all those ankle injuries. But I pulled up Steph's last year at Davidson. 28 points a game, 5 assists a game, 4 rebounds a game, shot 38% from 3, 87% free throw, and 3 of 9 from – so he hit about 4 threes a game. Trae Young – is putting up 27 points a game, 8 assists a game, 4 rebounds, and he takes 10 threes a game, and he actually makes almost 4 of them, but he's shooting at 36%. So his assists are a little bit higher than him. He has to do a lot more from what I saw than what I remember Steph Curry had to do when he was in the league. But, yeah, man, just decision-making, weight room. If Kevin Durant can play in the league at his size, and I know he's a lot taller and longer, then Trae Young might be able to hang. But what worries me the most was just watching him struggle down the stretch with certain defensive pressures on him. And when teams kind of ganged up on him, it made it just a little bit difficult. And I think it took him a while to adjust to that. Mentally, and that's where it goes to the decision making. Like you said, better IQ, because that layup at the rim is more impactful than a 40-foot three-pointer that just happened to go in or that you just have the ability to make because you're putting pressure back on the team in certain pressure situations. So I'm still a little concerned, but I think with the way the rules are set up, I think he'll be all right. What do you think, Rav, from the times that you've seen Trae Young play? You think he'll be all right in the NBA?
I think he'll be all right. I don't know. I don't want to, you know, jump out the gym and say that he's going to be the next Steph Curry. I think Steph Curry is just more of a natural shooter. Like when you watch Steph shoot, you already know that thing's special. And not saying Trae Young isn't, but he's not as special. I don't think he's going to be one of the greatest shooters of all time. You know what I'm saying? And maybe he hears this and it motivates him to be that. But from what I see, I don't know if I'm going to put him up there. Now, can he shoot? Of course. I think he's a very gifted passer. He has that throw a person open in basketball ability. There's not many people that have that. There's people that see the plays before they happen, but there's just certain passes that when you watch from certain camera angles, there's nobody there. And all of a sudden, here comes the guy, right? Like, he has that type of passing ability to me. And I think he'll be fine. I think that you're 100% right where the college basketball caught up to him. And all they were doing is just applying more pressure, picking them up earlier, just making life more difficult. And he doesn't have guys to relieve that pressure, right? So I think that's why it always begs the criticism of Steph. If you remove the components and the coaching and the system, and you have this guy as your main guy, can you make him struggle here and there? You know what I'm saying? Because it just looks so easy for him. But he also has a Klay Thompson. He also has a Draymond Green that relieves ball handling and creating pressure. So does KD does that as well. So he has other guys that allow him to shine in other areas once they start trying to focus on him. Trae Young didn't have that in college. You know what I'm saying? So I think that with better talent around him, guys that can take pressure off of him, I think he'll be fine. Again, do I think he's going to be a superstar? I don't know. You know, it's questionable. I think he can be. I think that he's shown that ability, that star ability. When you watch him play, he jumps off the screen. You know what I'm saying? It's not hard to eye talent, but it's hard to try to project what they're going to do and what level of consistency they're going to have. We don't know. You know, but I do think that he can play and contribute at the NBA level, definitely. Superstar, I don't know. I don't want to label them that. But y'all already know. Y'all listen to the show. You already know when I make my true assessment. Let me watch Summer League. Then I'll let you know.
All right. Tyronn Lue, news broke yesterday that he's taking a leave of absence. Get well, Ty Lue. A lot of it seems like it was stress related, as most of you know that follows the NBA. It's been one hell of a year for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Last night the Cavs played. LeBron put up 40, 12, and 10, which right now seems like just another day at the office for
him.
Man,
this dude is playing. He's playing. This is crazy, dude. Like, what LeBron is doing?
I mean, 15 year.
15-year, like, dude. Like, yeah. What player plays? We can almost say he's playing his best basketball in year 15. That's crazy. You know, normally, you know, year 8 through, like, 11, you're playing your best ball. But 15? And it's like he's showing no signs of slowing down. It's like, you know, we're not even saying, oh, yeah, LeBron, you know, he's a step slower or he's not doing that. Like, we haven't even started saying that yet, man. It's like, gee. Like, we're seeing the decline of Carmelo. We're not seeing no decline of LeBron. And both of these dudes came in the league the same year. And that's crazy to me. I'm sorry.
Even D-Wade.
Just,
and Wade.
D-Wade, too.
Playing out this world. That's crazy.
And you know, here's the thing. I think LeBron lost maybe a step, but definitely a half step about 2 to 3 years ago. But because he's so high on the athletic pedestal that even two steps, he's still above 90% of the NBA. And that's just what we're seeing, man. I don't think we're ever going to see. Like, I think it begs the question. Can LeBron play 20 years in the NBA? 22 years? 23 years? Because if he's playing at this level now, do you think in the next 2 to 3 years he's truly going to decline, like, heavily? I can't. I don't think so.
I don't know. But I think he'll retire before he, like, start reclining, like, big time reclining. You know what I'm saying?
So. But here's the thing, right? Like, Vince Carter still get buckets. Vince Carter still be getting some dunks out here. You know what I'm saying? And Vince been in the league hell a long time, right? And I just think, bro, I don't know, man. I don't know. I think Bron might play with his shorty, man. I think that's how long he's going to be in the league.
Yep, me too. I think so, too. I think LeBron's going to play with his kid. I think that's what he's waiting for. And you're right, B. Like, one of the notes I have is play off LeBron. And I guess this Ty Lue and LeBron topic go hand in hand, because what we saw last night and what it seems like there's part of what we've seen so far was like LeBron having to do everything because of the requisite talent around him and the pieces and the injuries and everything. And then now Lue is out. And what we saw last night, it is really weird. It felt like they miss him, but they did miss him. And the jokes of LeBron coaching the team, you know, kind of seemed like they came to fruition. But, you know, obviously I don't think they're going to miss Tyronn Lue that much. And I think, you know, Tyronn Lue said he's going to be back in a week. But for me, like, last night was almost like playoff mode LeBron. Can he keep this up all the way through the playoff run? Because what he's doing is ridiculous. But he's almost making it look easy. But this is a lot. Y'all, I mean, and he has 12 games left. Kevin Love just came back. And then you start the playoffs. Now you lose your coach. This is a lot on LeBron. Can he keep this up all the way to the finals? What do y'all think?
LeBron, man. He's proving it.
At this point in his career, though, FIFO?
Hey, man, I'm not questioning. This man's never been hurt, knock on wood. Like, I'm not questioning it. If he's on the court, he's that much of a difference maker. You put four other guys around him, no matter who it is, you got a chance to make the final, regardless of the conference. I'm not saying you're going to get there and win. I'm just saying you have a legitimate shot. You have LeBron James, you have a legitimate shot versus any other player in the NBA. You do. He's just that damn good, man. In his 15th year, 16th year, 17th year, 18th year, it doesn't matter.
I wonder mentally, would this do a toll on him? And I somewhat think it would, but I also think there'll be a certain relief when Hood comes back, when Thompson comes back, when Osmond comes back. Like, some of these guys are not key pieces, so to speak, but they're important pieces, because now all of a sudden you can adjust the lineups a little bit more. So considering everything he's going through now, when you have your full assortment of weapons, because for the most part that's what they are. They're like utility pieces for LeBron. They're like weapons. They're like these players on the court is essentially his utility belt, his Batman utility belt, outside of maybe Kevin Love. And he weaponizes everybody else on the court. So now when you have your everybody there available to you, I wonder, like, would the game become easier? And he's in a mode now where a lot of teams haven't been yet. And I think it's dangerous, but I wonder about the mental fatigue that he could possibly endure playing 82 games and playing a full 82 games and damn near 40 minutes a game to close it out. So it's interesting, but I've never seen LeBron have to play this hard and at such a high level this late in the season. Normally he's trying to ratchet it down to get ready for the playoffs, and it's the exact opposite. So, but, man, B, you're right. I'm sitting there watching this guy play last night, and it was a dunk he did. It was a couple he did, actually. And you're looking at this guy, like you said, FIFO, like, he's still damn near jumping the way he was when he was fifth, when he first came in the league. And he's added more. Like, his jumper looks better. Like, there was a moment in time when when LeBron would shoot a jump shot and – I didn't think it was going in. Now, I think most of the time when he's shooting it, I think it's going to go in. And I never thought about that with LeBron. And it's nuts. And to your other point about him possibly playing that late in his career, like 20 or 23 years, he could, because all he has to do is go in the post. Sure. I mean, he go in the post and he can get you 10 or 12 points in year 20 easy. So
easy. And also his passing ability, man. Like, come on. like, he's had some monster dunks this year, but he's had some crazy passes this year too, man. Like, LeBron, I just, you know, people, I was watching a LeBron highlight reel the other day, and all I could hear in my head was Rod saying, well, he's 6'9", he's supposed to do that. But he's doing it, though. Just because he's supposed to, there's a whole bunch of guys that were supposed to and never did. And he did it from day one. So how are we holding that against him, man? Like, this guy is, I don't care what nobody says, the greatest athlete to play in the NBA. The most durable athlete to ever play in the NBA. And he is definitely on the same pedestal as the greatest of all time. I don't care what nobody says. He's the only player with, what, 30,000 points, 6,000 rebounds, 6,000 assists? The only player, like the only person that has stats like that is Wilt Chamberlain, the only player to do this. And now Bron is there as well, man. Like, I don't know how much more we need to see before we, and I'm not saying settling the debate, but at least saying, look, he is smelling the air up there. He's smelling the MJ air. Come on, let's just, like, witness what we've been watching all of these years, man. 15 years. And this guy, come on, man. It's ridiculous what we're watching right now. I've never seen it. We were, like, Jordan 15, 16. We saw it. We saw the decline. The man wasn't jumping over guys like that no more. Not consistently.
Nah.
Not consistently. He had moments, because when you Michael Jordan, you always going to have moments as long as you have a basketball in your hand. You know what I'm saying? You're going to hit crazy fadeaways, clutch moments and all of this, and grab a couple dudes, you know what I'm saying, off the backboard and get a couple dunks. But not like what LeBron. Man, that dunk that he did on Nurkic. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This man, he was at least 4 or 5 inches outside of the lane. Come on, man. I've never seen an athlete with this type of longevity athletically. I'm telling you, he's a test tube baby, man. They built this guy.
Oh, and he tried to get a couple of bucks last night.
He sure did.
I think back on the season and some of the dunks LeBron has done this year, you know, he's definitely trying to posterize a lot of people, a lot more, it feels like, than he used to.
He is. And against Milwaukee the other night, there was a couple of times where he just got the ball. He put his head down. He went straight to the basket. And you know, look, it's recorded. Bron, I would always criticize him going to the rack and trying to do all this finesse up and under, you know, double clutch, layup, jelly fan type thing. And I'm like, hey, look, man, you 6'9", 260, put somebody in the hole. And that's what he was trying to do. Look, man, LeBron is ridiculous. This man is a beast. And like he said, he's really like a fine wine. He's only getting better. Like, he ain't getting worse.
And mentally, I think just seeing how he's performed, like, I think losing Kyrie, and we'll talk about him next, losing Kyrie has kind of forced him to take his game mentally to another level. And he's all, I've always felt that he got to a point in his career where he was clutch. Like, the statistics bear that out, but then in games we've started to see it. And it's starting to manifest itself really in Miami. This year he's really been embracing that role a little bit more. But and I think not having Kyrie there has definitely forced him to assume that mantle. And I think that could potentially be dangerous for a lot of teams in the playoffs. We still have to see how it bears out. But the last thing I want to say, and then I thought about this today, this is the most underrated aspect of LeBron's game: his ability to stay healthy. You alluded to it earlier. The Warriors have 4 guys out right now. Kyrie Irving, his knee is jacked up again. LeBron is still going strong. He rarely gets hurt. And him training with the Navy SEAL when his back almost went out, and for him to have back problems and to come and play like this 2 years later, it's crazy, man. And I think that gives him a leg up on a lot of people. So I do think and I'm in agreement with you that the conversation between LeBron and MJ, it's right there. And the only thing missing are the titles. And a lot of people put a lot of weight on that, and that's their right. But everything else that LeBron is able to do and the way his career has panned out compared to MJ, having to face the Warriors and the Spurs and, like, the competition, MJ has never had to really face that once the Pistons fell apart. So, and they just had to get old. So anyway, but yeah, I think his health is underrated. Speaking of health, Kyrie, when the season started, you know, a lot of people made a big deal losing Kyrie. The Celtics are winning. You know, he's going to miss Kyrie. And there was a discussion or a feel that separating the two, that while Kyrie is going on to be his own man and it looked like it's working out for him, it looked like Kyrie got the better of that. And Cleveland struggled to replace the production that he brought and the stability that he brought to that team. Full season later, towards the end of the, and now Kyrie's knee is acting up, which has always been a problem for him. He's always had these leg issues. And it got me to questioning whether or not, like, maybe Kyrie going to the Celtics wasn't a bad deal if his knee can't stay healthy. But nevertheless, this knee, Kyrie is going to get a second opinion on. He hasn't been playing. They say the MRI came back clean, but I am still worried. Are you guys worried about Kyrie's knee and how this could potentially impact not only the rest of the playoffs, but just the rest of his career?
Yeah, man, knees are always a sensitive thing, especially as if he's getting this at a very young age. You know, it's like, you look at it like, man, how many more peak years he's going to have then if he's starting to have knee issues? Like, I don't think he's going to be like a LeBron where he like, 15 years, man, you still playing like this? I mean, unless you do some hellified recovering. But, you know, knees, you know, that's always, you know, especially for a guard like him, the way he moves, how quick he moves, it's stop and go, first steps, all that stuff. Like, them knees is a big part of that. Having healthy knees is a big part of that. And if, you know, it would be super unfortunate if he goes down, you know, go down the Derrick Rose route where it's just like you're not going to get a full 82 games from him. You'd be lucky if you get 60 games out of him, blase. So, yeah, man, knees is always a touchy situation, man, when you're dealing with knee injuries or nagging knee injuries. You know what I'm saying? Because, like I said, the kind of player that he is and the way that he moves all the time and how he can sliver through defenses and stuff, gotta have them knees, man. Gotta have good knees, good healthy knees. And if he starting to have knee issues going into his, you know, late 20s, going into his 30s, because I think he's like still in his early 20s. So it's like, yeah, bro, that can be something to kind of, huh?
He's 25 years old.
Yeah. So yeah, heading to your late 20s and into them 30s, and we all know in the sports world, once you hit 30, that's like the okay, here comes the downhill. You know. So yeah, that's something. Some you can kind of worry about. If you're a Boston fan and you like, oh, man, you had your hopes on building this franchise around Kyrie Irving for the next 5 to 6, 7 years, yeah, that nagging knee injury can be a little concerning. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, Tony Maserati on Twitter said that per his understanding is that he needs to get the screws out. The knee is flaring up, so he'll either have to play through it going forward or get the three screws out and won't play at all. This knee has been nagging him seemingly all year. Ralph, Kyrie's your man's. You were always big on him. What do you think about this knee injury, man?
I think all anybody could do is just hope and pray for the best. I think Kyrie has proven to be one of the most clutch players in the NBA, one of the most exciting players to watch, especially now that he has kind of like his own team and he's not playing a sidekick. So, you know, I think that this year has been a revelation for him, but at the same time, he's still having these nagging injuries. And like B alluded to, man, you don't want to have these type of consistent injuries, especially getting closer to your 30s. Obviously, he's still mid-20s, right now, going to be 26, you know what I'm saying, next year. But, man, it's tough. Like, that's tough, man. And I just hope that he can fully recover. Because obviously he's had multiple lower extremity injuries, the busted kneecap in the finals a couple years ago. You know, I don't think he's ever had an ACL, but I think he's had a meniscus. You know, he's just had multiple, like, not super serious, but, you know, just injuries that have him out for a while. And, you know, I think to become, you know, that true superstar, you have to be available. You know, consistently. Not saying that you got to play all 82 games every single season, but you got to play at least 75 games. You know, you got to average at least 70, 75 games a year. And he's just not there. He's not been there. And they're gonna need him. You know, like you said, if you want to build a squad around him, obviously they have assets. They have young talent. They still got Gordon Hayward. Let's not forget. He will be back next season. They still have two young other wings. They still going to have a top five pick this year. Like, so, you know, here's the thing. If the whole Kyrie thing don't work out, then, you know, you got plan B and C out there, because we've seen what, what's the rookie name? What's his name? Jason Tatum looked like.
Yeah.
He looks like, with some more seasoning, a couple of more, off seasons for him to mature, for him to add to his game. This guy might be, you know, a top three scorer in the NBA. We're talking about KD, Giannis type length, right? He's extremely smooth, can operate from anywhere. So I think Boston as a franchise, Danny Ainge has positioned them guys to be good no matter what happens. Look at Gordon Hayward. Went down, doesn't matter. You know, so you got the head coach. You got guys that can play and has bought in. You're drafting right with the likes of Terry Rozier. You're making the right offseason moves, a la Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. So I'm not worried for Boston as a franchise. But Kyrie, injuries is something that you can't – how do you prepare for? Like, all you can do is work out, eat healthy, and just, you know, do all of the little things. But if it continuously happens, you know, eventually Boston might have to look at this and might have to move them. You know what I'm saying? Unless, hey, you know, it's a cutthroat business. You know, so they might just have to let them go. They let go of Paul Pierce. They let go of anybody.
Yeah, that's true. I think, yeah, like you said, I think they're set up nice for the future if this knee becomes or continues to be problematic. But yeah, we hope he definitely gets back and is able to stay healthy, because he's definitely one of the most exciting players to watch in the NBA, and it's definitely going to be nice to see how his career unfolds without LeBron. Moving on, so we're winding down. Many teams have right around 12 games left to play, and a lot of the talk is, you know, is about the Houston Rockets and the Toronto Raptors. So, you know, it's funny, because when we started the season, one of our shows was about the Rockets and how everybody was overlooking them. And now, for the last couple of months, and a little bit, matter of fact, after that show, everybody started looking at the Rockets. That's all everybody's been talking about. So, so I think now is a good time. I know we revisited before, but we're getting closer to the playoffs. So both teams have the number one seed. Is it time to start trusting these guys? I mean, FIFO, have you wavered any with the injuries that the Warriors have? Rockets playing lights out. Like, you still don't believe in the brothers?
Okay, here's the thing. All right, so if Golden State isn't 100%, then, you know, I definitely think Houston can take an extremely wounded Golden State. I definitely believe that. But first and foremost, they got to get to the finals, okay? So let's not overlook and just put them there, okay? Now, they got to go through two other rounds now. And like I've said in the past, they'll definitely get past the first round. Who's in the AC? And I know that the Western Conference is you know, extremely fluid right now with everybody being separated by like one and a half games. So I'm not sure.
I think it's the Timberwolves.
The Timberwolves. you know, they definitely should win that series. That's not going to be easy, but they should definitely win
Minnesota's
that.
The eighth seed right now.
Okay, so they got to get past Minnesota.
Then they right now, Oklahoma City and New Orleans are 4-5, so they have played the winner of that.
See, like, for me, here's the thing. So with New Orleans, they just, you know, they depleted. They don't have enough firepower to keep up with that. So they'll definitely beat New Orleans. But I think Anthony Davis is going to have a coming out party. I think, man, like, that's going to be if he makes it to the second round. And then Oklahoma City, hey,
that's a problem.
They just might lose. That's a problem. That's a problem. You know what I'm saying? Like, because Oklahoma City can put pressure on them, right? They may not be able to shoot the three like that, but they can put Houston into foul trouble. They can stifle Houston in spurts. And Russell Westbrook just puts a lot of pressure on anybody who he plays against, and you can't stop him. So I think that's a dangerous series for them, man. I think that's an extremely dangerous series. And you know, if the cards play themselves right, and this is me still assuming Golden State is going to be hurt, right? They're going to have at least three out of their top four guys out, right? If that's the case, man, Oklahoma City might make it out of the way. They just might. But man, Houston, let's not count the chicken before it hatch, man. Like, them guys, they suspect, Ken. That's the best way to put it. In the playoffs, look, the record, cool. They got the number one seed overall. Cool, bet. But when it gets to game six on the road and you down 8 points with 4 minutes to go, who's going to execute down the stretch to get that? Now, we know CP3, been there, done that, but he's even had meltdowns. James Harden has yet to show. How many years has James been in the league now? Over 10, right? Or close to it?
Close to it,
right? Come on, man. That man's a seasoned veteran now. If he's truly considering himself an MVP candidate, a true superstar in this league, he has got to step up in a moment like that. Down 8, 4 minutes to go. You put the team on your shoulders, and you the reason why. I have yet to see that from that man. So until he does that, I am not a believer. I am not a believer.
B?
Wow. Well, yeah, but what you think about Toronto, people? Do you believe them too?
Man, come on, man. How am I going to apply my logic to one team and not the damn other? Man, Kyle Lowry and that damn DeMar DeRozan, man, them boys, come on, man.
They're the East Coast version of CP3 and James Harden.
They sure are. And it's even worse. Like, with DeMar and Kyle Lowry, it's even worse. Because here's the thing. DeMar, like, when he's not playing at his optimal level, he can still give you, like, 15, 18, you know, a couple deflections and key moments and stuff like that don't show up on the stat sheet. But Kyle Lowry, oh, this man can become a complete bum. He becomes, like, we talking, like, 3-for-18, 3-for-19 type of basketball player, man. That is not an all-star. That is not an all-star caliber guy, man. That is just not. Hell no, I don't believe in those guys. They got to prove it to me. And the thing is, now it's not even making it out the first or second round. Like, for them, their last step is making it to the final. That's where they are. You know, because the East has been how they are, they can easily get to the Eastern Conference Finals. You know what I'm saying? But beat Bron. That's what they got to do. Until they do that and they play a solid 5 to 6 games playing at the level that they play at the regular season, I don't believe in those guys either, man. Hell no.
So people not drinking the Kool-Aid yet.
Nah, I never drink their Kool-Aid.
Oh, man.
Never drink it. I don't even know the flavor, dog.
Yeah. You know, it's just interesting. That's the reason why I pose that question, because it's just like, you know, here are these teams, you know, that's shown on record, and I agree with you, people. They've shown us plenty of times, you know, that regular season is a regular season. The playoffs is a different animal, and you know, it's hard for me to be like, okay, I'm on board. Or I think Houston finally turned another leap. Or I think Toronto are finally going to get themselves together and make a run out and come out the Eastern Conference Finals. It's hard for me to believe that because, like you said, people, we've seen these guys check out in crucial moments in the series. You know, it could be a crucial game 5, a crucial game 6 or whatever. And we've seen these superstars check out, like literally check out or end up becoming on milk cartons missing, you know, after the game. And we like, where was this guy at? Where was this regular season pizzazz that James Harden has been showing us all year? Where's all the, you know, where's all the flair that DeMar DeRozan's been showing us all?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, where is all of that when it comes playoffs? You know,
and you know
what you want to say, people?
You know who Houston don't want to play?
Who?
Portland.
They don't want to see Portland right now. Yeah, man. Damon Lillard, man. Yep. Jesus Christ. Like,
yeah, man. Ridiculous,
right, dude. Like I said last week, better put some respect in that man's name.
Oh, yeah.
His name should definitely be thrown in the MVP conversation. Definitely.
Top
like
three.
This season. Definitely.
Definitely.
Like,
top three.
But yeah, Ken, you might, and the reason why I don't trust the Rockets, Ken, I think it was a statement you said the last week or the week before. I think Harden is just, he's eyeing for that MVP. He's really eyeing for that MVP that's more important to him than the NBA championship this season, because he felt slighted the past 2 years, you know, with Russell Westbrook having a historic season and Steph Curry having a historic season, being the first player to make over 400 three-pointers in a single season and the type of, you know, season he had. So, you know, I think Harden is really eyeing for that MVP. And then maybe he might look at a championship a couple years later. But you might be right, Ken. I think the MVP is his season goal right now, not a championship. But I can't trust him. I can't trust Toronto still. I'm still looking at Boston or Cleveland to come out the East. Houston, and of course, like I said, all beginning of the season, I still got Golden State repeating, so that means they coming out the West. So I still
So you believe it though, B? With all these injuries?
Yeah, I do. I mean, they injured now. It's not like they getting injured in mid May, you know. So they probably gonna be on cruise control the rest of this regular season. Golden State just want to get in. They just gonna be in once they get in. And I think once those, because they bored. I think they just been bored.
Now they're hurt.
Yeah, but I think once them guys get back healthy, man, like I said, they cruising now. So once they get back healthy, because they're gonna be in the playoffs. They're not missing the playoffs. But once they get back healthy, man, I think Golden State gonna make a run. I don't see no other teams really stopping them right now. But yeah, I agree with FIFO. The team you don't want to see going into the playoffs right now is the Portland Trailblazers. They are playing Houston. They're playing the best ball right now. Like, and right now, if it was 15 seconds and the game was online, I want the ball in Damian Lillard's hand 100% of the time right now, today. Today,
anybody.
Someone gave me a number
including
one player.
Kyrie.
Huh?
Anybody,
including Kyrie.
Yeah, Damian, I want the ball in Damian Lillard's hand. If it's some seconds left and they say, who are we going to give the ball to? I right now, I'm trusting Damian Lillard more than anyone else in the NBA right now.
So, and this is another question I had. So, so the Blazers, they are a playoff threat. Like, this isn't just some hot streak they're on.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, they're a playoff threat, man. Mm-hmm. They definitely a playoff threat, man. Dame Lillard, man, he's been saying this for the past couple of seasons. He's eyeing like teams like Golden State because he knows that's what he's going to have to get past to have a shot to win a championship. You know, when you got those teams or those players where you're like, look, I'm gunning for them because they got what I want. And for me to get that, I need to get past them. You know what I'm saying? We've seen players have that before in the past. You know what I'm saying? Teams knew it was certain teams you had to get past in the playoffs in order to have a shot to get your ring. So, and I think Damian Lillard is looking at them teams like that. It's like, look, I'm trying to get past y'all, and I'm going to do whatever I can, even if I got to put the team on my back to do that. And right now they look dangerous, man. Damian Lillard is playing out this world. I love it. I actually love it.
And B, you know how sometimes we be talking about how certain basketball players are cut from a different cloth?
Yep.
Dame is cut from that old school, hey bro, I'm gonna take your lunch until you step up and punch me. Yep. I'm going to keep taking this lunch from you, bro.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And he's cut from that, man. And I've always said it. There's about four point guards in the NBA right now. Now, when they see Golden State Warriors and Steph Curry, these four guys take their game to another level. That's Kyrie. That's Russ. That's John Wall. And that's Dame Lillard. Dame Lillard does not back. You look at the box score. Dame be scoring 40. Anything Steph do, he match it, if not does better. Like, he does not back down. He gets up for these type of games. And like B said, you know, I was going to try to ask it earlier, but is Dame the most clutch player? Hell yeah. Hell yeah. And you know how I feel about Kyrie in those moments. But I take Dame right now, man. I take Dame over anybody in the NBA. Why? Because he could get to the basket. Finishes around the basket, finishes strong at the basket. Hesitation is crazy. Step back is crazy. Has unlimited range, just like the greatest point guards in the game right now. Like, man, I take Dame Lillard. And the thing, I always want somebody with a chip on his shoulder. How many All-Star appearances has this guy had? How many USA basketball invitations has this guy had? He hasn't had none of that. That's why he plays so damn hard. He got something to prove. That's the guy I want. You know why? Because you don't have to tell him nothing to motivate him. Be like, hey, Dame, you know who we playing? I got a coach. I know what time it is. And that's it. You ain't got to talk to this man at all. He going to do what he do.
Yeah, and I think to the clutch point you made, I don't recall Kyrie making many of those clutch shots this year. With Boston, he's had clutch moments, but he's had a couple of opportunities to win some games here that he hasn't hit so far. I think Dame might be a really solid pick, but I don't know. Man, Kyrie got that in him too, man. Kyrie got that in him too.
I'm not saying he don't. I'm just saying right now, what Dame has been doing, I'm taking Dame over anybody with the last possession with the ball in his hand. I love Kyrie, but I'm just saying right now, Dame is the guy.
Yeah. You know what? I think in the response to all of this, right? So we'll start with Houston first. So with Houston, if they somehow manage to face Oklahoma City in the second round, I had OKC going to the finals. So you guys already know that I obviously think they will win that matchup. I think that will be tough for them. I think the complementary pieces around OKC concern me a little bit. But I still like that matchup. Russ, Melo, and Paul George a little bit more than James Harden, CP3, and whoever else decides to join the party. I mean, Russ has played in the finals before. Paul George has went toe-to-toe with LeBron. He's battle-tested. And Melo is just waiting for his moment. He just want to get in the playoffs so he can do some damage. And I think we may see Melo get more touches in the playoffs, you know, because I think the playoffs could be suited for a game like his. In certain moments. So for me, the Rockets, just down the stretch, they starting to look like the same old Rockets to me. And that concerns me. So we'll see how they play out. With the Raptors, I know on this show before, when I had my doubts about Cleveland going to the finals, that was at a different moment of the season. That's when the Cavs just didn't have it all together. Kevin Love is back. Rodney Hood to get healthy. Tristan Thompson will be back. Larry Nance will be back. Shetty will be back. And all of a sudden, that team is fully healthy. And when you look at this Cavaliers record, third seed, we know that record is a reflection of the turmoil that they've had to endure this season with all the injuries, the Isaiah Thomas factor that just didn't work. So it's adjusting to life without Kyrie. So there's a lot that goes into those 29 losses. So fully healthy, are they a little bit better? I would like to believe so, but I think LeBron in the playoffs is different. So you get LeBron playoff, if you get playoff LeBron with the healthy Cavs teams, who else is going to beat him? Who else is going to beat him? And, you know, the Raptors kind of starting to look like the same old Raptors. So, you know, so, nah, you know, as the season winds down, things start to take shape and mold in the way that, you know, the playoffs will likely unfold. And I think we'll see down the stretch how Cleveland will fare and how Toronto will do as well. With Portland, though, I think they're interesting, and they're playing Houston tonight, so we'll see. I'm going to watch that game once we're done here. We'll be wrapping up in a few minutes. They're on a hot streak. I just have my concerns about Harkless and everybody else on that roster, not named C.J. McCollum and maybe Nurkic. I think being a 3-seed, they should beat San Antonio. If the playoffs were to start now, they'll beat them. And then they get the Warriors. And I just don't know if they have enough to get the Warriors. So can they get past the first round? Yeah, but I think it ends there. And I don't think they'll have enough firepower to take on a fully healthy Warriors team. Dame will be motivated, to your point, FIFO. He'll be highly motivated. But I think as far as a threat, for me, 5, 6, 7, and I think they can beat maybe even the Timberwolves. But the Rockets, the Warriors, and the Thunder, nah. I think what this is doing is putting Dame Lillard on the map, and it gives us an opportunity to talk about him again. He's just showing how special he is. But I think they just don't have everything they need to go deep into the playoffs. But I'll be extremely disappointed if they didn't at least go to the second round. So, yeah, so we'll get into the race for 8 next week. I want to close out the show with 2 more things. One, I just mentioned Carmelo Anthony and the possibility of him getting more usage in the playoffs. But it this season has been interesting for him because we talked about him earlier and how he's starting to slow down. And I started to think about just – his legacy. How do you guys think Carmelo's legacy will play out once he hangs it up? Because he's had an interesting second half to his career.
He go down as the what? I think he's the only 4-time gold medal player. That'll be something that he can go down in. Of course, his collegiate level was good. His 1 year, one and done year at the collegiate level, winning national championship. But he'll just go down as just, you know, one of the great scoring power forwards to play in his game. I mean, For years I've always campaigned as Carmelo being one of the best pure scorers, you know, that I've seen. Or even during his time, I'm like, dude, he's the best pure scorer. Like, Carmelo can score it any kind of way you want him to score. You want the post game? Cool. You want him to slash to the basket? Cool. You want the mid-range game? Cool. You want 3-point shot? Bam, he can give you that. Like, he can score any kind of way you want to score. And like, you rarely saw that in players that can score from any facet on the court. And Melo was good at doing that. You know, unfortunately, he just didn't commit on the defensive side of the ball at all. But, I mean, that's how I think I would be remembering him, is being down as one of the most gifted offensive power forwards to ever play the game.
You know, but isn't that – so, 2 things. Like, that's a little sad that's all we'll remember him as. We still have to get FIFO's thoughts on this. But the second thing is, speaking of his ability to score from anywhere on the court, I'm surprised that Billy Donovan hasn't utilized that more. And that's why I think in the playoffs they'll – up his usage rate, because the game tends to slow down and you need a guy that's basically a weapon like that. But yeah, it's kind of sad that a guy that had a promising career coming out of Syracuse, I think, will only be remembered for what he did in Syracuse, winning the title as a freshman. How do you think FIFO will remember Carmelo Anthony?
Same way B said, man. And I think, to your point, I think it is sad, man, because he has so much promise. He won a national championship in 1 year at Syracuse. He came in, I believe he led all rookies in scoring that year and got Denver to the playoffs, you know, in his first year, like in the Western Conference. You know, the West has always been tough, even back in 03 when Carmelo was drafted. So, you know, Carmelo, man, his expectation level was extremely high. And I don't think that he rounded his game enough, you know, to have the impact needed to be the true focal point of a squad. Now, he was always the number one scoring option, but, you know, there's a difference between being the scoring option and being the team. You know, LeBron, KD, you know, there's certain guys that are at that level that they pretty much do everything. And Carmelo was pretty much offensive minded. I think that's what really held his game back. And also, he never really got other players involved, was never great on any on the side of defense. He never specialized in one thing. Does he play the passing lane? Does he get a lot of rebounds? You know, I think his rebounding for his career is lackluster. I think he averages like 6 rebounds. You know, he should be averaging 8-9. You know what I'm saying? I feel Carmelo left a lot to be desired in other aspects of his game, but where he shined, he was one of the top. He was one of the top. I think that's the way we're going to remember him.
Yeah. B, any thoughts on the Chauncey Billups rumors to Detroit?
Yeah, I heard about it. I mean, but Billups said, like, the stuff wasn't true or whatever. Like, he was saying the rumors wasn't true. That's the last thing I thought I saw.
You think he'll be a good fit?
You know, it'd be interesting. I mean, you know, Joe Dumars got a ring out of it, you know, in 6 straight years to the Eastern Conference Finals, before it all tanked out. But, I don't know. I really don't know. I have no idea. I mean, I didn't have no idea when Joe Dumars took over, and I just have no idea with Chauncey Billups. I mean, he seemed like he has a good eye for basketball talent and a good IQ to sort out basketball talent. So, you know, it'd be interesting. He's definitely committed. I mean, he's still involved with the city of Detroit and the organization and everything. So it would be interesting. I mean, you know, it'd be a nice little shakeup. You know, maybe that'll be the end of the Stan Van Gundy project, because that's coming to an end. I think if Stan Van Gundy don't get fired this year, definitely his 5th year, his final contract year, this up next year, the 18-19 season, and definitely should be his last year, especially if we don't make the playoffs that next year, because we already not making the playoffs this year.
FIFO, did you see this? I know B saw it, but did you see the top 20 most dominant athletes? I guess is of all time. Let me see.
It just the past two decades. The past two decades. Past 20 years. 20
years. All right.
Let me read you the list. number 20, Tom Brady. 19, Manny Pacquiao. 18, Mike Trout. 17, Barry Bonds. 16, Allison Felix, track and field. Never heard of her. 15.
Really?
Nope. Nah, I haven't. 15, Novak Djokovic.
I'm surprised he's in it, but go ahead.
14, Cristiano Ronaldo. 13, Lauren Jackson. 12, Serena Williams. 11, Lionel Messi. 10, Usain Bolt. 9, Marta, soccer player. 8, Floyd Mayweather. 7, Michael Schumacher, Formula One. Number 6, Annika Sorenstam. Number 5, Roger Federer. Number 4, Jimmy Johnson, NASCAR. Number 3, Peyton Manning. Number 2, LeBron James. And number 1, Tiger Woods. They said they did this with foolproof math. And that's who they have for the last 2 decades.
Two people I'm surprised that's not in there. I don't know if you agree with me on this one or not, FIFO, but Kobe Bryant and Derek Jeter. Shocked that those two guys not in there.
Especially Derek Jeter. Yeah. Obviously, Kobe should be in there too somewhere. I think they put Serena way too low on the list.
Way too low. She should have been at least top five. At least.
I would say top seven just because, you know, I wouldn't have considered a race car driver. But Jimmy Johnson was extremely dominant, and Michael Schumacher, it wasn't even fair.
Serena's about to be the all-time leader in Grand Slams, dude. She should have been top five. She should have been top five.
Here's the thing. I feel you. I'm not arguing that at all. I'm just saying. I don't know, man. Like, Michael Schumacher's up there, bro. Like, he really is. Damn. I would say Michael Schumacher is like the second best Indy F1 race car driver behind Al Unser. Like, Michael Schumacher is ridiculous.
I've heard that name a lot, a gazillion times. But yeah,
and you know I'm a big car person. I don't follow F1 like that. Like, I'm not in the season. I don't know like the standings and all of that. But I know the top guy. And Michael Schumacher is up there. So because of that, I could understand. I agree with you, B. She should be top five. But if she was like top seven, I get that too because of the drivers. But, she's way too low. Kobe should have definitely been on there. Kobe should have been at least top 15. You said who else wasn't on there?
Derek Jeter.
Yeah. Derek Jeter should have been at least. Yeah, he should definitely been on the list.
Barry Bonds retire from baseball? Was it like 2005, 2004?
Anybody know?
Because I was like, why is he on the list? Like,
but he's too low. Yeah. That's Barry Bonds? 17? Yes, absolutely. 17.
I mean, but I guess if you figure he's been gone from baseball for like when did someone look up when he retired? Like, I figured.
We'll trust that he's on the list because he's played in the last decade, B. But 17, though?
I guess the steroid stain on him.
He retired in 2007. That's when he retired.
Okay, so he's been out of baseball for 11 years.
Where would I put him, FIFO? At least 12. At least start there. And bump Serena up. Get Lionel Messi out of here.
You can't get rid of Lionel Messi.
He can go down. He can be bumped down.
Yeah,
so.
Okay. Yeah, I feel you. He can get bumped down.
Like, you can move or maybe put
I was going to say Cristiano Ronaldo, he was kind of low too. To me,
yeah, he was 14.
He could have been top 10.
See, you know,
hey, you know who else we forgetting? We had this discussion before about these two players. If we put Kobe Bryant in there, why not Tim Duncan?
I think Kobe was more of a individual dominant player than Tim Duncan. And because this list encompasses everybody, I don't know how you can squeeze somebody out to put Tim Duncan in.
Yeah, that'd be tough to add him in. Like, I think you could probably move out Mike Trout for any of the people that you name.
Ooh, man, I don't know, man.
I know he's a monster. Man.
If you got FIFO making that noise, and FIFO don't even follow baseball like that, but you know Mike
sure
Trout.
Don't, but I know Mike Trout don't.
But Mike Trout, man, that dude right there, man. Jesus.
Well, what about Pacquiao then? Get him up out of here.
Yeah, I can definitely. I'm fine with getting Pacquiao out of there. I'll take out Pacquiao and put in Kobe.
Yep. That's who I'd substitute. Pacquiao could get out of here with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised he was on here. So, yeah, but ESPN, man.
And I'm cool with the top two. I mean, even though, you know, Woods haven't done it in a long time, but Woods' dominance in golf, as long as he's dominated in golf, is still is unmatched.
He's back, baby. He's back. I told you, Cal.
Get out of here with Ken.
He's not out of here with all that. He's not back.
Tiger Woods is back.
If he now if he win his Masters in a couple of weeks, okay, Ken, you can come and pump your chest. He's not back. I mean, it's good to see him playing in these tournaments and getting close and
top five, like two top five finishes, B.
That's okay. That's good. That's good. We gonna see what he's gonna do in the Masters. We're gonna see if he's gonna make the cut, if he's gonna qualify, because we know how hard that Masters course is. These courses he's been playing in, they're pretty easy courses. Now the good thing it's doing to him for him is building up the confidence, which is good, but those courses are fairly easy. And I mean, that Masters course is going to be tough. It's tiger-proof. They made that course to be tiger-proof once he started dominating. So you know that Masters course is going to be hard. So if he wins his Masters, Ken, I will give you the floor to say Tiger's back. But right now, I'm not saying he's back. Tiger's not back. Tiger's going to never be what he was before the knee and the scandal and all that stuff. Never. Never. He's not going to be red Nike shirt Sunday Tiger. No. That's not coming back.
I don't know, B.
It's not coming back. Yeah, I'm cool with Tiger and LeBron, the top two. I'm cool with that. I'm cool with both of those.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. Once again, thanks for listening. Please subscribe to the show, share the show, and hit us up on social, Twitter, and let us know just your thoughts on anything that we talked about. Keep the comments coming on YouTube. And that's it. We'll catch you guys next week. We out. Peace.
Peace.